And welcome everyone to Osmo Dev Call tonight. The topic is circuit switch data in GSM, or also called CSD. It's like sort of half an Osmo Dev Call and half a retro networking talk by today. So what is CSD all about? Well, as the name implies, it's a circuit switched service, meaning that there are calls like voice calls. You dial the number of a destination subscriber, a connection is established, dedicated radio channels are used, and dedicated resources in the wired network. The only difference to a voice call is that there is data communicated and not voice. It resembles the kind of service you would previously have in ISDN networks for circuit switched. Well, it's not called CSD there, but it's just called data calls in ISDN, or sometimes also unrestricted or restricted digital calls. And the same also like analog modem calls in the good old plain old telephony service, the POTS network. So you have basically two subscribers calling each other, and there is some equipment in ISDN, a terminal adapter in POTS network, an analog modem, and you exchange information between those two subscribers. It is the only data service that is provided by classic 2G GSM networks. So a real 2G network doesn't offer anything except SMS and circuit switch data. GPRS was only added almost a decade later with the so-called 2.5G or GPRS services. So GPRS is packet switch services and CSD is circuit switch services. Circuit switch data services in GSM is also used to transport Group 4 facsimile service, also known as telefax or fax. I forgot what I wanted to say, sorry. How does it look like in detail? What kind of users are there? How was it used? How was it implemented? That's what the talk tonight is about. What kind of users or applications were there? There is the classic use case of using some kind of modem. This is a Siemens MC35i modem on the picture there, but there are many other vendors and form factors, of course. Very popular also, for example, the PCMCIA form factor cards like Nokia GSM data card. I have one here. I took a picture but didn't put it in the slide. So with such a modem and a SIM card, you could basically dial into BBSs or some kind of databases or other information systems back in the day, before everything was running over IP or internet. There was also the possibility to dial into other data networks like X25 networks using gateways, pads, that you dial into from a circuit switch connection, and then this gateway is connected to the packet data network or to other networks. Of course, also accessing mainframes or whatever is possible or was possible over modem or ISDN data calls, you could then do over GSM, of course, with limitations on the data rate, as we will see shortly. And last but not least, you could, of course, also do SLIP or PPP calls over this service, resulting in internet or a private IP network access, just like the same in the switched telephony network was possible without any cellular. We then have machine-to-machine communication. The most common today probably user of circuit switch data is in the GSMR network, the railway GSM network, where the train engine, the so-called E-door, now what was the acronym for? Not sure what the E was, but the D-O-R is about the data-only radio, so that's the way how they call the radio, the GSMR mobile station that gets put into the train. and that establishes circuit switch data calls to the rail controller, rail block controller, RBC or whatever it's called. There also have been the first generations of end-to-end encrypted mobile telephones, for example, the original GSMK crypto phones, but also Rohde & Schwarz, I think, had some products in this area and some other vendors as well. These phones would not establish a voice call over GSM, but they would establish a circuit switch data call. And then in that data call, they would put voice codec data that is encrypted with an end-to-end encryption of some sort. Last but not least, at least in theory, there was also a specification for doing teletext over GSM and also for video text over GSM. I'm not sure whether that was ever deployed. Technically, it's rather simple and straightforward. Since teletext is a service that was provided in the circuit switch network with a 2400 bit per second synchronous X21 interface, and 2400 bit synchronous is one of the modes of operation for CSD and GSM. So theoretically and technically, it should have been easy to interconnect those two, but I'm not aware that this was ever done in practice. And last but not least, there's fax service over CSD. These GSM telefax devices existed and exist. This is, I think, the last generation of GSM fax devices you can find, a Posio Greta device, which you can find is still sold new on eBay, some surplus stock today, very frequently, and there are sellers with plenty of units. It allowed you to send fax from one GSM subscriber to another GSM subscriber, but also to wired fax machines in an ISDN or PSTN network. And I think one of the use cases, at least the intended use cases, was not so much the business traveler in the 1990s who wanted to have a fax machine, but more, let's say, police and emergency first responders, firefighters, and so on, so that basically even while they're on the road, they could send them some fax with a floor plan or some map or something like that. I'm not sure how much this was used. This is not the kind of user group that I have insight into, but at least that's what it was marketed for by the brochures and so on that you can find from the manufacturers. We will look at those different services in more detail, but let's look a bit more at the classification of services. In GSM, everything is services. You have, even though, well, a stupid word game, even though it's not a service-based architecture like 5G, for those who know about that terminology, but you have tele services, you have bearer services, circuit switch data is not just one type of call, but there's multiple different ones. You can think of it like GSM voice calls. There is full rate, half rate, enhanced full rate, AMR, and even AMR wideband now. So many different codecs, and likewise for circuit switch data, there's many different flavors. And those flavors, they span up from multiple dimensions of differentiation. One is the synchronous versus asynchronous services. So just like modems in the telephone network, some support synchronous serial interfaces, others support asynchronous interfaces. This depends on what kind of equipment you want to attach. And next to this differentiation, there is the question of transparent and non-transparent services, which we will look in separate slides, in like three slides down the road or so. Then these services, transparent or asynchronous or and so on, they are provided in various different bit rates. I think the most common ones are 2.4, 4.8, and 9.6K. There's also lower bit rates and the 14.4 kilobits per second. And this CSD was later extended to something called HSCSD, high-speed circuit switch data, which is bundling multiple of those traffic channels, each of them with one of the bit rates indicated in the previous line. So you can end up with up to 56k of data throughput, of course, at a multiple of the price. So the CSD data cores were already quite expensive, and if you do HSCSD, then you bundle up multiple of them. So it becomes quickly rather expensive. I used this for a short period of time back, not sure, in the early 2000s, I guess, but never really much, just to basically play with it, but not really any longer due to the high charges of such calls, of course. And of course, the network also couldn't scale this way. I mean, if you know GSM, the capacity is always rather limited. And if a single subscriber eats not just one, but even multiple time slots all the time, it becomes a problem. And this is then what GPRS solved with a packet switch service, where you don't have dedicated time slots allocated to subscribers anymore, but dynamic allocation of individual chunks of chunks of time on such time slots in a more dynamic way. So we, as I said, we have synchronous and asynchronous services. What does this mean? In synchronous service, it means that there is a common clock between receiver and transmitter, and the bits are transmitted synchronous to that clock in a normal synchronous interface, one bit per clock cycle. The advantage of such synchronous interfaces is that they don't need start and stop bits. So if you look at the same BPS, so let's say 9600 BPS, the synchronous interface has a higher user throughput than an asynchronous interface, since the asynchronous interface needs additional bits to indicate start and or stop of the frame, at least for the start. Simple synchronous interfaces need separate wires for the clock in addition to data, and I2C or SPI are example synchronous interfaces. I think in GSM, at least to my knowledge, modems, GSM data modems with synchronous external interfaces, meaning like an X21 interface, for example, I've never seen or heard of. They may have existed, but I think it's a super niche use case. Nevertheless, synchronous services are used in GSM, for example, for the fax transport, and also in other situations, as we will see. They're just not exposed necessarily to the user through a synchronous interface. So it's a synchronous service inside the network, but it's maybe not exposed that way on the user interface. On the other hand, asynchronous interfaces are those that are basically the opposite of what we spoke before. There's no synchronous clock between, the bits are not synchronous to any clock. The baud rates just tells you the rate of those bits, but not the phase, when and where they occur. And the transmitter can start at any given point in time to transmit a character, and each character is started with a start bit and stopped with a stop bit, sometimes also with none or with multiple. So that's all part of the specific configuration, and everybody probably has heard of RS-232 serial ports, which are a prime example of such asynchronous interfaces. So from the spec, both are possible. So you could imagine one of those Siemens data modems from the earlier slides, not with an, well, it has on the backside, it has a DB9 connector with an RS-232 port, and you could imagine those also theoretically with a synchronous interface. In GSM, that would be possible, as that I'm just not aware of this having been produced. And then we have the differentiation between transparent and non-transparent services in CSD. So a transparent CSD call means that the bit stream is passed end to end. So of course there is forward error correction on the AIR interface, since the AIR interface inherently is lossy and corrupts data, but there's no retransmission. So if you don't pass the forward error correction, if you have too many errors in your frame, then yeah, there are some bit errors, but there is no data retransmission in case of loss. The advantage of the transparent service is that you have a defined latency, since your transmission time is fixed in a TDMA network. But so you know when the data will arrive, but you don't know whether it has been corrupted or whether there's data loss. The CSD doesn't recover from such data loss by itself. So the higher layer protocols need to take that into consideration and need to implement whatever reliable transmission scheme. So there's an explicit relation of those transparent CSD services to ISDN V.110 services. For those who've not heard of V.110, there was a RetroNet call some months ago, I think in December, where I spoke about these ISDN protocols, the bearer protocols, including V.110 and how that's structured. And a transparent CSD service in GSM is basically a modified V.110 frame. We will look at this shortly. Opposed to that is the non-transparent CSD service, which you can only have for asynchronous services. So you have a transparent service for sync and async service, and for non-transparent, you can only have asynchronous CSD service. Now, what does it mean? It means there's an additional protocol layer called RLP, the radio link protocol, another protocol inside called L2R COP, the layer 2 character oriented protocol, which takes care of serializing the control lines, such as flow control signaling and those status lines of serial ports. And the RLP protocol now introduces an HDLC, of course, not HLDC, sorry for the typo, an HDLC style protocol with a so-called ABM, the asynchronous balanced mode, which is the ITU 1970s ITU language for reliable transmission mode with retransmissions and window and so on, and acknowledgements. So frames are retransmitted as needed, which means you don't know the latency by when it will arrive, but due to the retransmissions, you have guaranteed delivery, or if the radio channel really is that bad, it will simply disconnect at some point. So either it arrives or the call will be released, but it will be retransmitted a number of times. Conceptually, it's related. So in the specs, it's nowhere mentioned, but conceptually, if you look at it, it's related to how ISDN V120 or X75 works. Both of those protocols are also HDLC style protocols with reliable transmission. And both of those, particularly V120, is also specified for asynchronous transmission of serial data streams. Now, if we look at this, this is a diagram from the specs, the so-called models 1B, 2B, and 3B. You see sort of how these different modes are used, or how they are conceptually implemented over the various different interfaces. So we always have the so-called R interface, that's the serial port of your modem, if you think of a GSM modem with a serial port. So that's the first dashed line here. We have the, Michaela is asking from which spec, I think it's the 43.010, yeah, 43.010. And so you have, as I said, this serial interface here, and then you have the radio, the UM interface here as the next dashed line, and then we have the A interface here on the on this line. So A bits is not explicitly mentioned here. This just looks at the A, the UM, and the R interface. And if we look at the different services, we have it's a bit small in the slide, but we see there is transparent asynchronous data, transparent synchronous data, and in the end we have the, well, it's not actually, well, yeah, it says no. Well, it's the non-transparent asynchronous case. They don't mention it in this diagram. So we start with the middle one, that's the transparent synchronous case, because it's the most simple one and others build on that. So what we can see here is that, well, we have some serial data arriving on the R interface, then we have the so-called D and S internal data interface bit streams. The D is the data bits from the characters arriving here, and the S is the status conditions like the RTS, CTS, DSR, DTR, and so on. Those conceptually both go into the RA1 function. The RA1 function generates so-called modified V.110 frames. So a number of characters are aggregated into one RA1 modified V110 frame, and that gets passed into the convolutional encoder and burst interleaving and so on, gets sent over the radio interface. Then in the base station, we have the opposite function, the convolutional decoder, the burst deinterleaver and so on. And it gets handed to this interworking function between RA1 prime and RA1. RA1 prime is the one dealing with the modified V110 frames, and the RA1 is the standardized V110 frames as they occur in the ISDN network. So we basically go from modified V110 frame to standardized V110 frames, and then we go into the RA2 function, rate adaption 2, which then outputs a bit rate of a 64 kilobit slot here on the circuit switched interface between the BSS and the core network on the GSM side. And then the MSC or interworking function could sort of untangle these again, but in an actual ISDN interworking, you wouldn't have these blocks. So basically, once you have traversed the BSS and you arrive at this BSS to core network interface here, you have a data call with V110, just like an ISDN data call. There's no difference, and you can just transparently switch this 64 kilobit time slot to an ISDN subscriber, and the terminal adapter on the ISDN side can interwork with the mobile subscriber. So that's the easiest case. In the asynchronous case, it's basically the same, but we have this additional RA0 function here on top in the data bits. And that is basically doing stop bit manipulation, how they call it, in the specs. So in an asynchronous interface, you have characters which are happening at an undetermined rate up to the bit rate of the interface. And in between characters, we just insert stop bits here. So from RA1 onwards, everything is happening synchronous to the GSM clock. And RA0 is the async to sync conversion for the user data. So that's the only difference here. By the way, I said in an ISDN case, you wouldn't have these RA2 or RA1 and so on functions here. But theoretically, you could have a modem in the network. It's an interworking function in the network. So you would take basically the synchronous, or here the asynchronous characters, and stuff them in a V-series modem and put them on a plain old telephony network. So that's the interworking that was envisioned, which I don't think has ever been implemented, but or has ever been deployed in production. I have to be precise.
So actually, it has been implemented for real here in the US. There has been, it has worked. I don't know if it still works or not, but it did work at least as of 2016. You could dial a CSD call from GSM to an analog PSTN, POTS modem on the other end, and it worked.
Okay, thanks. Then we have this case that basically here, where the graph ends, you have your modem. It gets its asynchronous or synchronous characters from the left-hand side of this interworking function, and then it goes over the analog telephony system. The model 3B at the bottom is now the non-transparent service, which is only possible for the asynchronous, as I mentioned. So we have asynchronous characters arriving here. They get mangled somehow and end up again going through the RA1 prime function to the forward error correction and so on. So if you look at the bottom side of this graph, it's exactly the same as the synchronous case here above. But basically, you have this additional RLP and L2R COP protocols. Oh, by the way, yeah, which it says can also have optional data compression. So that's true. You can have V42bis data compression in the L2R COP. So you basically have a synchronous call with an additional protocol stack on top that provides an asynchronous service with the protocol for retransmissions and reliable delivery of the data. So how does it look like in the call control side? It's basically just a normal layer 3 call control, like a voice call. There's nothing really different than a normal GSM voice call or a ISDN call. The only difference is that we have the bearer capabilities information element, which indicates that it's a circuit switch data call and whether it's transparent or non-transparent, at which bit rate, and whether it's synchronous or asynchronous. So that's all encoded in the bearer capabilities, which get exchanged during the setup phase. And then everything else is just like a voice call. But like in ISDN, as part of the signaling, you know if it's a voice or a data call. And this way, a telephone with a GSM telephone with a serial port can know whether to route the call to the speaker and microphone of the phone, or to route it as a CSD call to the serial port of the phone. Max is asking whether there's call hold or redirect with CSD. Not that I'm aware of, but what GSM supports, which also ISDN supports, which is I always found rather funny, is this idea that you change the service during the call. So you can have alternating voice and data services, and then the signaling will tell you, well, now I'm switching in the call between voice and data. And then everything gets reconfigured on the mobile station side and on the network side without establishing a new call. I mean, it reminds me at those first modems where you still had a phone, basically, and you dialed the number manually, and you could talk to the person at the other side and say, oh, yes, now we put the phone or the receiver into the acoustic coupler, or we switch our modem on, and then we switch in this voice call into data mode. So that kind of thing is also represented in GSM. I have no idea how much used, if at all, that was. I always ignore that part because I find it rather esoteric. So how does it look like on the radio interface? We have the various different traffic channel modes for TCHF and TCHH, so for half and full rate traffic channels. First, we have a radio interface rate. That's basically the rate of bits that we put into the convolutional encoder, or that we get out of the convolutional decoder. And then we have a service rate, which is different to that. Which is the net user rate, and the difference between those two rates is where the status bits and other things are encoded. So again, the handshaking and serial status lines and so on. Each frame then has a certain size of user data bits information bits, how they call it. And different duration. You can see sometimes it's 5 milliseconds, sometimes 10 milliseconds, sometimes 20 milliseconds. 20 milliseconds is what everybody knows from the normal voice calls, where that is the standard. We have one voice codec frame every 20 milliseconds. So in CSD, it's half or quarter that time, depending on the mode. And we have various different new and fancy convolutional encoding and interleaving schemes. What I find rather significant is this up to 22 burst interleaving. I can only speculate why they did it, probably to improve resilience against short bursts of interference or something like that. So if you spread it over 22 bursts, of course, you have a higher probability that, whatever 20 out of those 22 get received nicely. But if you spread it only over 4 bursts, then if 2 are missing, then you've lost half of your information and you can't recover anymore at the kind of rates that they use here, or at least most of them. So rate one third wouldn't survive that. Yeah, this is just the relevant specs for that in case you want to look at it. I've mostly looked at the full rate services with 2.4, 4.8, and 9.6 kilobits. Now, the 14.4 is always different than anything else. So it's really rather different at every site, at every interface, very different service. So how does it look like on the APIS interface? As you know, I guess, classic ABIS interface is using E1-based interface with 16K subslots for the individual voice calls and so-called trough frames. So transcoder and rate adaption unit frames between the VTS and the transcoder and rate adaption unit, the TRAU, which is co-located either at the BSC or at the MSC, most commonly at the BSC, next to the, it's actually, the TRAU is what implements the voice codecs for the voice calls. So in a voice call on the AVIS side, you have your AMR, EFR, FR, HR codec. And on the A side of the TRAU, you have your normal ALOR, ULOR ISDN calls. And for CSD, they, of course, had to introduce new special TRAU frame formats. I guess most of them on 16K subslots. I'm not sure if there's some that require also full 64K slots, but I think no, all of the rates should fit in normal 16K subslots. Modern GSM implementations, of course, don't have a channelized or no E1 interface at all anymore. And that then, unfortunately, they never got together and specified and updated the 3GPP specs on a new interoperable format, but every vendor has its own proprietary or sometimes even multiple generations of proprietary encoding for these CSD calls and TRAU frames. So there is no real standard there other than these very old E1-based standards. On the A interface, as I mentioned already, it's just like in ISDN. So whether voice calls or whether data calls, you have both of them just look like ISDN at that point, and the MSC doesn't have to change any of that, assuming there's an ISDN peer at the other side. There is a link to the RetroNet call on V110 and other ISDN bearer channel protocols in case you're interested in that. How do you interwork with ISDN? The MSC is just a fancy ISDN switch in classic GSM anyway, so call control is just the same. The only difference is that you need to, too many typos. Unrestricted digital information or restricted digital information gets mapped to whatever CSD bearer capabilities in the GSM call control, but that's really it. The transparent calls end up use a slightly modified V110 inside GSM, and outside GSM it's a standardized V110. For the non-transparent services, you need an interworking function that terminates the RLP and L2RCOP protocol layers, because those are GSM specific, and then it acts sort of like a terminal adapter to ISDN. You at the output of the L2RCOP protocol, you have your asynchronous serial characters, and you put them into whatever ISDN format, whether it's V110 or V120 or X75 or whatever on that end. With POTS modems, as we've just been corrected, this has been deployed in practice in the literature that I could find. I only found we tried this, but we didn't deploy it later in production. It's the modem banks. And Sam has mentioned in the chat he mentioned that modems had to be provided for fax anyway. Yes, but the modems for fax are significantly simpler, as far as I understand, than for those bit rates, maybe. Yeah, not for the bit rates in CSD, possibly. Okay, anyway. But yeah, so you have basically modem banks in the network at the interworking function. How does interworking with fax work? Well, it's again slightly different than the other cases that we had before. Relatively similar to how the non-transparent asynchronous services work. So we have a transparent synchronous CSD bearer, and inside that bearer we put a new protocol called FA protocol, which is a frame protocol consisting of 64-bit frames. We're almost reaching ATM cell size there, such small frames. And the interworking function co-located with the MSC terminates that protocol and then implements the related V-series modems. The T30 protocol is transparent, almost transparently end-to-end on top of that. Only the group 3 fax is supported, and the older group 1 or group 2 fax or the more modern group 4 fax was not supported. So I find this a very interesting inconsistency in that basically for data services, they use V110. So interworking with ISDN comes for free, but with fax, they use not group 4, which would be the ISDN native fax, but they use group 3 fax from the old telephony system. It's rather interesting. Choice of technologies. So if we look at the same style diagram, we are talking about model 5A now in GSM specification 43.0.10. Again, we have our RA1 FEC, so RA1 prime, RA1 prime to RA1 interworking, RA2 functions, and so on. So this block here at the bottom is identical, but on top we have this FA protocol with the 64-bit frames, which terminates in the interworking function, and at which or whose output we have these T30 communication that goes into the modem here on the interworking function, which then transmits it over the analog voice network, analog PSTN network. So if you want to play with CSD in 2023, public operators, at least here, have phased out CSD recently. Vodafone already 2 years ago. Deutsche Telekom has discontinued circuit switch data calls in December last year, actually at 31st December, so just 3.5 months ago. 2.5 months ago. So the only way to really do this these days is the info Mannerworm states it was extended to the 1st of March 2023, so just 2 weeks ago it was dead, it was discontinued for whatever reason. I'm not really sure why you would do that. It's not that you need any specific additional equipment, but well, probably licensing reasons. You can pay a few euros less to your equipment provider if you have one less software license to pay for. So you can use test equipment like such. This is a Racal 6103. They have support for circuit switch data services, at least some of them, not all of them. And that's also what I use to do some to generate some test data and to get some air interface captures. And the other option is some kind of private network with equipment that has CSD support. In Osmocom, we never really had CSD support in the code. Tobias Engel did create a Tobias CSD branch in 2012, and in this branch he added a bit of support on the call control side and on the RSL side to make nano BTSs establish CSD calls between two subscribers. However, I think it was using some nano BTS proprietary RTP format that is not interoperable with anything else. So it has only worked with nano BTS, and I think only transparent or only non-transparent, so only part of the CSD services. I played with it once back then, but it definitely worked in some configurations, but only in some. Now we currently undergoing work in progress to have proper CSD support in the Osmocom stack. What are we working on? Our main focus is the 2.4, 4.8, and 9.6 kilobit CSD across the CNI, the cellular network infrastructure projects. That means Osmo BTS, BSC, MSG, and MGW. For the BTS, we focus on Osmo BTS TRX right now only. Of course, it can be extended later on, but at least initially, that is the target. Once this is done, we should have CSD to CSD calls between two subscribers for both synchronous, asynchronous, transparent, and non-transparent services. and also support with V110 RTP clear mode interworking with SIP using Osmo SIP connector, and then also getting that into ISDN. How exactly is yet to be determined, but that's sort of the feature set that we are aiming for. And in terms of status, what we have today is we have the convolutional decoder, encoder, deinterleaver, interleaver, and that has been verified against these AI interface traces that I captured while using this RAKAL test equipment and the Siemens GSM modem. I can give a quick demo of that. Also, related Wireshark dissectors have just been merged mainline, so I wrote some dissectors for the RLP protocol and the L2R COP, the layer 2 relay COP. Policing circuit switch data. V110 frame synchronization encoding and decoding is there, and that I verified against normal V110 ISDN calls in the Octoi network. There's also code for translating the GSM modified V110 frames to the normal V110 frames and also synchronizing against those. And this has again been verified against these captures that I took, the interface captures. Osmo MGW has been extended to support RTP clear mode in SDP. Max is asking what Octoi is the Osmocom community TDM over IP network, which is a enthusiast ISDN network run over the internet, so people around the world can connect to it and interoperate their ISDN equipment now that ISDN doesn't exist anymore in most public networks. Osmo VSC already has handling on ABIS and A interface, and I think some patches are still in review, but this is also getting rather complete. Also, the MGCP signaling towards Osmo MGW, and Vadim has started the work on the layer 1 and scheduler in Osmo BTS TRX to integrate the convolutional encoder, decoder, interleaver, deinterleaver into the layer 1 there. So, making nice progress. I would say overall, maybe 40% or so, I would say, in terms of completion. So what's to be done? Well, lots of stuff. We have issues in Redmine. There's a tag, CSD. If you filter on the Redmine issues on Osmocom.org with the CSD tag, you can see all the different tasks and what is already checked off and what is still missing. Before I do some quick demo, maybe some time for questions or comments or feedback, we already had some feedback in the chat. I'm going to repeat that for the recording and for people who watch it later. There was a comment that call forwarding worked with fax teleservice calls, and also a comment that analog modem calls to CSD also worked on T-Mobile and O2 in Germany in both directions. That's something I didn't know. I always thought it's only the V110 interface to ISDN, but I guess I never tried due to the fact that why, if you have ISDN, why would you go with an analog interworking there? So I probably just I was blind on the analog eye. Then there was a comment that the analog modem emulator's interworking function is yes, that's what you save, but and then that could be a reason for switching off the service. But then on the other hand, it's the same devices with the same DSPs that also do all the voice codec translation, so it's just different software in those devices which implements the modems in today, right? So it's really just software licenses or something like that, or maybe some commercial reason. I don't think it's really a technical reason behind disabling these services. Okay, and typo again. Yes, lots of typos in the slides. Maybe I should commit them earlier and ask people to review and send patches before we actually have the call. Okay, now please, if you have questions or comments, let me know.
One feature I would like to implement related to CSD would be a terminal server. Back when I was a student at the university, quite a long time ago, we had this dial-in terminal server, dial-in box, where you would dial in from an analog modem to a phone number, and the modem would be connected to this very, very simple terminal server. It would give you a very, very simple command line interface. Pretty much the only thing you could do from it was to telnet to wherever. And I think it would be really fun to create a CSD equivalent of that. So imagine you have a special test number within your Osmocom-based GSM network to where from a CSD-capable phone, you dial like ATD-099 or whatever your magic internal number is. That CSD call would be answered by this process that would terminate the clear mode RTP stream. And then this process would act like a terminal server. It would provide this very simple kind of a CLI within the CSD call back to the call-in modem, making it look like an old 1990s university terminal server, and it would allow you to telnet to retro computing servers anywhere on the internet for people who still run like DECVAX or, you know, Toad, Xscale, or any of those kinds of, you know, big retro computing machines out on the internet, connect them to CSD that way. I think that would be fun. So that's my idea of contribution as far as CSD goes.
Yeah, thanks. That's actually something we have in the Octoy network for ISDN already. So we have a Livingston Portmaster, which is a remote access server, which then telnets to various services. So you basically have an ISDN or modem call in our network, and that gets terminated in this Portmaster. And the Portmaster then telnets to some other machine, to some remote process. And we already have this set up for a number of BBSs and other services. And once sort of we have the interface to the GSM the interface to the GSM CSD, we can use that since the V110 calls can just go to the portmaster. There's also a couple of other REST servers in a co-location center. I think the total capacity is what 900 parallel calls or something absurd like that. We haven't even powered them up at the moment. Since there are no users, so the single portmaster with its 30 B channels is sufficient for that at the moment. Of course, one can do it without ISDN. It's just since we already have that infrastructure in place, I think that's the first step for us to integrate with that. And then, of course, if somebody or if you, for example, want to completely virtualize this without any ISDN, going directly from the clear mode a CUSE device, for example, a character and user space device, might certainly be a quicker solution or a less complex solution. So there was a question from Manavam, which moving parts are needed to have working CSD calls between two mobile devices? What parts do we need to send a fax from a Nokia communicator to a GSM fax? Well, the first question is, basically all the bits that I've been mentioning. So the BTS needs to have the CSD convolutional code deinterleaver and so on board. That needs to get converted to RTP clear mode. The media gateway needs, the BTS side parts have started but are work in progress. The media gateway side is done, and then the MSC needs to support the bearer capabilities and so on, and use that to signal the right stuff on the A interface that is not started yet, and the BSC needs support again for the bearer capabilities. So the BSC, I think we're fairly complete. With the BTS, it's work in progress, and with the MSC, we haven't started yet. For the MGW, it's already done. So once all of these elements are in place, we can have CSD calls between two terminals, and it doesn't really matter what CSD service it is. whether it's transparent or non-transparent or fax or synchronous or asynchronous, because whatever the two terminals, the two phones support in this case will be possible. On the network side, it's always just forwarding V110 frames over RTP clear mode between the network elements, and the network doesn't really get involved in that. So it's all of those services would then work at the same time. To send a fax from a Nokia communicator to a GSM fax, well, I don't know what the Nokia communicator does, but if it's also just doing fax, so if to the GSM network it's two GSM fax machines talking to each other, then that should work at the same time. We can have any kind of CSD calls between two mobile devices. Okay, any other questions, comments?
So I have a question on the Osmo BTS layer one side. I know that you're saying that you're currently working on Osmo BTS TRX, which obviously makes perfect sense why. Now, I wonder with the Sysmo BTS, I know that you've got this DSP-PHY in there, which right now, as I understand, does not support CSD at all. And obviously you guys are the only people in the world who have the ability to do anything with it. Do you guys yourself have the ability to make improvements to the DSP, or is that something you license from a third party to where even you can make improvements to it?
It is the latter case. So we have licensed this. I wouldn't preclude the option, since all of this is end of life and discontinued, that we might get our hands on the sources. Even then, of course, we couldn't disclose those. I think it's rather unlikely to happen. So I think the Osmo BTS TRX is going to be the first one. And then if at all, what's also rather easy to do is to add the draw frame support for E1-based BTSs, because that's a standardized format. And then any Ericsson, Nokia, whatever BTS would also work for the Sysmo BTS. I just don't think there is a commercial use case that would make sense to invest all that time in effort in the extension of the PHY for those. Yeah,
So basically the follow on to that would be, I wonder what would be the alternatives, in other words, for someone who is interested in CSD on a kind of, semi-hobbyist basis, but also semi-hobbyist, semi-commercial in the sense of trying to run a GSM network that's somewhat production quality, what would be the hardware options to look into possible semi-commercial BTS hardware vendors that run on Osmo BTX TRX, the way CSD would be a possibility?
That's an interesting idea. I haven't really thought about it, but there might be some options. I can't really say right here in the call, but let's look at that once we have Osmo BTX TRX in place, and then we can look at that. Now, before we get further, I'd still like to do the demo, and we can have more Q&A afterwards. Vadim is asking a question about IP access nano BTS. Yeah, that's also possible to support. In theory, they should also support they have multiple proprietary formats for CSD, which would be more effort to implement, obviously, but I think in theory they should also support this RTP clear mode with V110 inside. And if they did, then it should be rather easy to support them, or it would almost work out of the box probably, if that's the case. But yeah, I don't know about the status of this. Of course, we've also seen lots of bugs in nano BTSs during the last decade or so. So I'm not sure how well it's supported, but it should be easy to try at least once this is in place. Okay, now demoing something. Just give me a second to move around the respective windows and start the screen share. So let's first have a look at the Wireshark dissector and then have a look at how the data was generated or obtained. screen sharing. There we go. Yeah, I guess you can see the screen now, the Wireshark. Can you? Can somebody confirm the screen share is working? Yes, okay. Thanks. So what we have here is a trace, a PCAP file that I generated with a tool that's in a branch right now, an Osmocom BB branch. And this tool decodes the burst indication recording from Osmocom BB, an air interface recording, and it does all the convolutional decode, deinterleaving, the RA1 prime to RA1 adaption and all that stuff, and the V110 adaption, all of these adaption functions. And in the end, this is developed for the non-transparent case, so it implements the RLP and in the L2R COP protocol. So in the initial frames, these are all just basically at the beginning of the recording, there's no valid data, so the frame check sequence is wrong. So we have to scroll a bit, and I think around frame 480 or so, it becomes active, the call. Yeah, so now we see some actual frames here. So I just defined a new GSM tab format for GSM RLP frames for these non-transparent CSD calls. We use the ARFGAN field, of course, and uplink downlink information. So this capture has both uplink and downlink frames. As you can see here, it's an uplink frame, so we can already colorize that. So we see the uplink and downlink with different colors here. Frame number, all of that is populated like normal. And then we have the actual RLP frame. So here we see it's an S frame, a supervisory frame, an RR frame. With a good frame check sequence and the usual kind of CRPF bits and so on that all these HDLC type frames have. So if we go a little bit further, no, I thought it's around frame 480, the SABM frame. Well, in any case, let's go further. Here we see some actual payload that gets decoded in here. So you see here Apache license version 2.0, January 2004. What I did is in the data call that I established with the GSM modem, I just did a cat of user share common licenses and all the text files in there and catted that to the serial device, and that got sent over the circuit switch data call. So now we have chunks of the various licenses starting with the Apache, because in alphabetical order, it was the first license here. And we can see we have the, why is it an RR frame? There is something wrong in, it's an IS frame. It's a combined iframe with supervisory function RR. This is correct. Inside we have the L2R COP, this layer 2 character oriented protocol. And inside that we have the actual text chunk. So in this case, version 2.0 January. And then it continues with January in the next frame, and so on, and this goes on. So you can see the Apache license scrolling by here in small chunks of data. And later on, you will also see the GPL and other licenses. What do we have here? Covered code, blah, blah, blah. This sounds a bit like a Mozilla license indeed. So yeah, that's basically how it looks like in Wireshark for these non-transparent services. And give me a second so I can. So all the V110 and the convolutional stuff and all that is part of libosmocore git master. So all that is merged. So there's no need for a branch in libosmocore, but in Osmocom BB, I'm currently using this LaForge CSD decode branch for those experiments. And there is host layer 23 source MISC. And there is firstprocess.c, which is a small main program where you pass the name of a burst indication branch recording. So I assume you're familiar with the burst indication branch of Osmocom BB, which saves raw bursts to a file. We open this file And we also open a GSM tab source, which generates the frames that we've seen in Wireshark. And then we have this function to read and process one burst, which is this function here, which basically just decodes the channel number and prints some status, reads the burst into this burst buffer, and then does the burst unmapping from hard to soft bits, and then it goes into process one unmapped burst, which in turn we have a state structure for these 22 interleaving frame interleaving burst interleaving. So we have 22 a buffer that's large enough for 22 bursts, and this burst state exists for burst uplink and burst downlink as a static variable here. We differentiate based on the ARFCAN flag whether it's uplink or downlink, and then we feed that into the deinterleaver here. And in the convolutional decoder for this 9600 BPS CSD call, and at the output we have the RLP frame, which we then feed into the next function, which is up here, which decodes a bit what this RLP frame is, USIS frame. This is before I had the Wireshark dissector implemented, so I used this. And in parallel, we also send it to GSM tab, so we can feed it into the Wireshark dissector. So if I do this first process here with whatever there is, the licenses burst file, which I also committed into this Git branch, so people have some, who wants to play with it, have some demo data. If we do something like this, so initially there's all kinds of where the FCS doesn't match, but later on we should also get some decode. Well, this is just, let's try. Anything wrong with the IO redirection? Or 1F is the padding, so to speak, in the L2RCOP. So this is frames that don't have any other content. But I'm trying to see some ASCII output. Ah, there we go. So here we see some otherwise ownership of 50% or more than outstanding shares or whatever. This is a patent clause from a license. So we get some chunks of patent of license text every so often in this decode here as well. So here, yeah, derivative works shall mean any work within source or object form and so on and so on. So yeah, that's was the proof of concept, and from which the once this was all finalized, the stuff has been merged to libOSMO core, and that's what we are now integrating in OSMO PTS. So I just wanted to show that quickly.